This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas, powered by U-Mobile.
I'm Wong Xiaoling, and this is The Breakfast Grill, a brand that is synonymous with the environment, women's empowerment, animal rights, and fair trade, even before it was fashionable and the de rigueur of the cosmetic industry. That honour goes to Body Shop. However, as we fast forward to 2022, has this poster child of these causes lost its luster to newer brands in this era of social media marketing and cult brands? We speak to Kas Kayum, the Body Shop Managing Director of Global Head of Franchise. Thank you for joining us today. I think let's start with the business model of Body Shop itself and the use of franchisees to grow. Now, according to the 2021 annual report, 2,600 retail locations in 80 countries. Give me some colour. What is the split between owned and franchise stores?
So just to answer your question, half of our business is company markets and the rest is franchise owned. We opened our first franchise market back in 1978. Can you imagine? Just a couple of years after the first conception of the Body Shop brand.
Is this franchise model still pursued by Body Shop, or is the corporate direction of the holding company, which is Natura, right? Is that still something that is important?
Yeah, the head franchise concept is still very key for the Body Shop brand and still very, very relevant. In fact, we're continuing to open new head franchise markets. We've just opened markets across Europe, new head franchise markets. And by the end of this year, we're going to be opening more head franchise markets in Africa. So Kenya, as an example. So still very relevant today.
So when do you make that decision? Is it the size of a market, or you think that the local rules and regulations are too complex for you to understand when you appoint a franchise, as opposed to, let's say, I decide I want to run this market on my own Body Shop?
Precisely. There's a number of factors that we consider when we're looking at franchise markets. The complexity of doing business, the regulatory situations, the legality of entering those markets, the entity ownership, etc. So there's a number of different factors that we consider when deciding whether we should be opening a head franchise market and where in the world.
Okay, so let's use China as an example. And I know this, in terms of strategic direction, it's going to be a big market for Body Shop in the next 2-3 years. Is that going to be franchise or own store model?
It'll be a company-owned market for us in China, which we're looking to launch next year. And we're still working on the plans of this.
Okay. Is that driven by the fact that China has a population of more than a billion people? You know, it is vast. So you see the potential. So you say, okay, we'll do the store-owned business when it's worth it, when we can imagine the growth versus smaller markets?
Yeah, there's a number of factors. I mean, in China specifically, we're really excited by the opportunity that China represents. A great opportunity for us to introduce some amazing products to our customers in China. Also, there's a great opportunity here for us to leverage group brands across the Natura group. So we're entering China, not just with the Body Shop, but also with our other brand like Aesop.
Okay. Yeah, because Natura does has Aesop. They have also Avon, which a lot of people aren't aware of.
Precisely.
But let's talk about Japan. I think, because I saw this in the Natura annual report, and Body Shop will be reinforcing its presence there after the business was acquired from the head franchisee. So why did you take this so-called take back the business from them?
So in Japan, I mean, again, we're very excited by the business in Japan, a great opportunity for us to really expand the Body Shop. And we know that the Body Shop has a really strong following in the Japanese market. And we believe that the potential of the market is far greater than it is today. So a great opportunity for us to really drive the Japanese market as a company-owned market, so we expand at the pace that's required. So we've now taken back the operations in Japan, and we're looking forward to really expand the Body Shop business and to really introduce a strong store footprint back into the market and recapture the spirit of the Body Shop in this market.
Okay, so let's examine this relationship between the Body Shop and its franchisees. I want to know a little bit more about these expectations that Body Shop has, the KPIs that you set before you enter a market. Is everything decided in terms of how many stores need to be opened, the look and the feel of the store, how much capex these franchisees need to spend? And I'm going to be talking a little bit about the profit too. What kind of profit sharing agreement do you have? Give us some color on this first.
Yeah, the relationship with our franchisees is very much a partnership. So we co-create the business plans. We work closely with them to make sure they have the right tools to really expand and drive the brand at the pace that we both need. And it's really important for us that the franchisees are making money. You know, we're not an NGO. We're a business with a really strong focus on purpose, but also on profit. So it's really important that we work closely with our partners, wherever they are in the world, to make sure they remain relevant, they are profitable, and they drive growth at the pace that we both need.
So what kind of profit do you allow your franchisees to make?
It varies market by market.
What happens if they're not on board with you and they don't necessarily transact in the same level of transparency required? Because when I look at your annual report, for example, the sustainability data, there's a lot of information out there. And I wonder whether you expect the same levels, standards, when it comes to ESG from your partners. What if they don't deliver? Is it then time to just chop them off as a franchisee?
Yeah, so we're very fortunate in that we have very strong, long-standing partnerships with our franchisees. Now, of course, there are times when we might have different points of views. And that's great because this diversity of opinion helps us to go even further. So it's important that we hold hands on the plans, on the processes, on the way that we want to drive change. And we have some really clear criteria in the way that we work with our partners to make sure we establish very clearly right at the beginning of the relationship and also at the beginning of every year on the targets that we want to achieve. And they're co-created, aligned to the global strategic direction. And that's really important both for us, but also for the franchise partner.
Basically, every company, every retail company is jumping on this bandwagon, right? COVID-19 has accelerated that push towards having an e-commerce channel. So, you know, in quarter one this year, e-commerce and at-home sales for Body Shop are currently 1.3 times higher than even the pre-pandemic levels, right? While stores only represent half of sales. So the question is the franchise model in this era of omni-channel marketing still as important and still as relevant?
Still as relevant as ever before. Actually, we see our channels more than just point of sales. Our channels are places where customers can learn about the amazing product stories.
Mm. Is there going to be a target between, let's say, the split of brick and mortar stores versus online? Or even brick and mortar stores between own stores, franchise and online?
Yeah, I mean, we believe that our digital business can be even stronger than it is today. So over the next couple of years, 20 to 30% of our business will be coming from digital sales. And we're still very excited about our core retail business, physical stores, particularly post-pandemic. And that's why we're so focused and we have an obsession about the workshop store, the new Activist Makers workshop store, because this leverages some of the key learnings from the last 2 years of the pandemic.
I read this in an Essential report on how you have this order management portal for franchisees and a new cloud-based enterprise resource planning system. How critical is this for the future of Body Shop? And how much has it actually improved sales and the relationship you have with your franchisees?
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really quite critical that we drive the efficiency and the effectiveness of how we work with our partners. So this is just an example of another tool that we offer to our franchise partners to help manage some of the inventory.
Everybody signed up?
Yeah, I mean, we're working through, we're rolling out this across the franchise community to really improve the way that we work with our franchise partners. So we're testing, we're learning, we're developing this even more over the course of the future of this year.
And the cost to this, it's worth it in terms of the CapEx outlay?
Yes, absolutely. This is a tool that allows our partners to work really closely with us to be more effective and more efficient in the way that we plan for growth. So it's effective in the short term in managing the budget, especially in a post-pandemic world.
Yeah. You want to have the right amount of inventory, but never too much,
right? The right stock at the right place at the right time. a focus back to the key priorities of the brand. And as an example, we're really focused on making sure that as we start to think about the stores reopening and our big key areas of opportunity aligned to some of the trends that we're seeing. Mm. Skincare is going to be a huge area of focus for us with the new launch of our A-Device range. So working really closely with our partners to make sure they have the right stock at the right place at the right time, making sure that we focus the sales in the right way. So these tools become incredibly important to professionalize the way we work with our franchise partners.
On the Breakfast Grill this morning is Kas Kayum, the Body Shop Managing Director of Global Head of Franchise. After the break, the rejuvenation of the Body Shop shops and product lineup. And will that be enough to attract new customers in an increasingly competitive environment? BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
BFM 89.9, welcome back to the Breakfast Grill. In the hot seat this morning is Kas Kayum. He's the Managing Director and of Global Head of Franchise. Before the break, is the franchise model still as important as it used to be in an omni-channel sales world? So let's spend some time on the Body Shop retail strategy, ongoing initiatives to roll out this, like you said earlier, new workshop store. It's to attract new customers. So far from what I get, 156 stores have already completed the exercise, but that's only 6% of all Body Shop stores in the world. Is there a timeline to completion and why is it taking so long?
We're really creating a sustainable growth strategy by developing our business and meeting people where they love to shop, online, in our stores, and through our pioneering social media, social selling channel, The Body Shop at Home. So we're pretty excited about physical retail. Now more than ever, customers want to rediscover the joys of shopping in person.
Brick and mortar is not dead?
No, brick and mortar is not dead at all. In fact, our new workshop stores, I see them as change makers hangout.
Okay.
Hangout for change makers.
But these stores cost money to be refurbished and renovated? I mean, there's a certain level of capex required for an upgrade, right? So I'm curious, as a franchisee, are they on board to spend this kind of money because they're not certain how much extra revenue they're going to make, right?
Yeah, actually, I'm really excited by the focus and the energy our partners are putting behind the Activist Makers Workshop. Our partners have always understood the importance of being relevant, of continually investing in the brand and making sure that we're keeping up with the pace of the trends and the customer expectations. And that's why we're really excited about the Activist Makers Workshop.
Do you give them some guidance if, like, you spend X amount of dollar, you will definitely get an X increase in revenue? Do you have data to show your franchisees this is the model that works? If you don't upgrade, you're going to be left behind. The shops are not going to do well.
Yeah, we work really closely hand in hand with our franchise partners when it comes to investing in the brand. And the reason why we're so obsessed with the Activist Makers Workshop.
But does it generate sales?
Absolutely.
At the end of the day, that's what counts, isn't it?
At the end of the day, that's what counts to help drive the bottom line. Also, that's what's important to our franchise partners and to us as the brand owners. And therefore, we're really excited by the fact that our Activist Makers Workshop is delivering double-digit growth versus the rest of the estate. And this is encouraging even more franchise partners to accelerate the rollout across the globe. In fact, we're really excited because we've just opened 108 workshop stores around the world. And we're going to open a further 265 workshop stores across the next 6 months. So to answer your questions, our franchise partners are investing behind this Activist Makers Workshop and they're as excited as we are.
Okay, related to this is, of course, this product rejuvenation program, which is ongoing, targeted for completion by 2024. So you've got the store rejuvenation program, you've got the product rejuvenation program, but are these two initiatives going to be the silver bullet to counter what we can see now currently, which is the weak consumer demand in Europe and the channel mix effect, which has resulted in a 22% decline in year-on-year sales in the first quarter and improved margins?
I mean, the transformation of the brand is really important. People have always loved what the Body Shop stands for. More now than ever before. They love the things we make, they love the things we do. And therefore, it's really critical that we remain dedicated to being the most ethical, sustainable, inclusive, inspiring brand inspiring company that we can be.
Okay.
And therefore, when we talk about the rejuvenation of our products, the transformation of our physical stores, the effort and the energy that we're putting behind digital, this is really important for us to remain relevant.
But I'm just wondering whether that's really the case today, because let's just face it, customers are extremely fickle, hard to please, right? We might have some level of loyalty, but we also occasionally like to try other brands. And we've seen a plethora of cult brands which have a similar positioning to The Body Shop, like Lush, for example, or some of these brands which are very savvy when it comes to social media marketing. Are you ready for this competition?
We, in fact, welcome the competition. The Body Shop's always been a trailblazer, in fact, since the launch of the brand in 1976. The brand pioneered this philosophy that business can be a force for good. Anita said, business shapes the world and it's capable of changing society in almost any way that you can imagine. So this ethos is still encapsulated in our purpose to fight for a fairer, more beautiful world. And people have always loved what The Body Shop stands for, now more than ever. So today we remain absolutely committed. Our stores, our digital platforms, our grassroots social selling channels are giving amazing experiences where customers can love to shop.
Is there a risk, though, that your loyal customers are aging, the demographic of the customer? Because younger people want a different experience, right? And, you know, they basically buy products according to what's popular on Instagram, what's popular on Facebook, using influencers. And I'm not sure that's the direction Body Shop has taken in the last few years.
I mean, what's really interesting is both our products and our strong ethical heritage really resonate with the younger consumer.
Okay. So there's no risk that Body Shop one day will be Revlon, which has just declared bankrupt. It's an old school brand.
I mean, it's
just
really,
like Body Shop.
It's really important that we remain relevant. And that's why the transformation of the brand is really important. The energy that we're putting behind transforming our product range, the focus and the energy, the obsession we're putting behind our Activist Makers Workshop, both these really resonate with the younger consumer, their aspirations, their needs, their lifestyles. And our products are appealing to a whole new generation who want to feel good, look good, and do good.
So do you do data like, you know, the average age of the Body Shop consumer? How old are they?
Yeah, I mean, it varies market by market, okay, depending on the younger demographic. So for example, in Malaysia, in Asia, in fact, we have a younger demographic of customer profile. And that's why it's really important that we continue to drive the transformation and the change so we resonate with the younger consumer. The focus, the energy about being relevant and connecting with a younger consumer is really, really important. And this ties beautifully to our brand new campaign that we've launched in Malaysia to amplify youth voices, to empower change and drive change. And we've also, at the global level, introduced what we call the Youth Collective. And the Youth Collective is a collective that we've introduced into the Body Shop, where we're bringing young people into the boardroom, a group of under 30s, to operate as an advisory panel for our leadership to help shape our strategic direction.
Great, I hear you. But what about the new headwind, aside from competition? And that is inflation, right? We're seeing wages rising. We're seeing raw material costs rising. Is that beginning to bite into Body Shop margins?
I mean, it's a really complicated world out there right now. The challenges are well publicised and it's difficult across our sector and most others. Supply chain disruptions, inflation, the cost of living. However, we know that we offer something different and our business is as relevant today.
But are you going to raise your prices?
And we're going to have to reflect the increases in costs. And this might vary in different parts of our business. There's no slowdown in the desire to drive growth and partner with our partners all over the world. And we really want to make sure that we leverage our business as a force for good. In fact, it's quite the opposite.
Okay, so let's be clear. You will be raising prices at the shops and even raising prices to your franchisees then?
I mean, we're going to be monitoring the situation really closely. And as I was saying earlier on, the challenges are different region by region, market by market. And it's really important that we remain relevant.
Okay.
And therefore, we're going to have to monitor the situation really, really closely, in line with what we see in the competitive landscape.
On that note, thank you for your time today. In the Breakfast Grill was Kas Kayum, the Board Shop Managing Director of Global Head of Franchise. I'm Wong Xiaoning, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile, where unlimited potential begins.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.